chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 this morning. Happy Father's Day to fathers. Amen. For you, thank you for you, especially if you're living for the Lord and doing what you can as the Lord leads and guides you. By now, my parents have been out here every year since we moved out here. So by now, many of you have gotten to know them. And my father has preached, of course, several times. And so I'm thankful for my father and the stand that he took and his efforts to live for the Lord. And as I said before, I don't know when I said this, but it was recently, I said that I got saved my parents got saved around the same time that I was born. And so growing up, my parents were trying to figure it out like everybody else, figuring out how to be Christians, figuring out what the Lord wanted them to do, figuring out how to be parents and do that. So I'm thankful that they stood on the Word of God and did their best, with what they got, right? They did their best with what they were handed. So thank the Lord for that. But all right, Luke chapter number 15 this morning. We are going to start reading in verse number 11. Luke chapter 15, starting in verse number 11, the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and bring a ring, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry." Let's go ahead and bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless the message. Lord, thank you for your kindness and your goodness to us. Lord, I ask that you would bless now this time that we have together on this Father's Day. Lord, that we would be thankful and we would show honor to our earthly fathers, Lord, and of course think of you as well as our Heavenly Father. Lord, a day that to be remembered and a day set aside, Lord, to think about fathers. And Lord, as we preach on this topic this morning, that you would bless, Lord, any father that's here, any father that's doing their best, Lord, any father that's trying to follow you and follow your word and Lord, to grow and continue to learn and be all that they can be. I pray that you'd bless them. And Lord, thank you for your kindness to us again. Thank you for your word that we can preach out of. Lord, I ask that you would increase and I would decrease in the sight of your people. But Lord, that we would leave here with thankfulness on our lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here in Luke chapter 15, this is the story of the prodigal son. That's what it's called. There's been many, many messages preached out of it. I have a few myself about the prodigal son. And the prodigal son, of course, is this son that kind of goes against what we perceive to be his father's will. He kind of goes against some things that are smart. And he decides, give me everything I got coming to me, Dad. And he goes out, and what's he do? He spends it, and he blows it. And he doesn't make bad investments or bought a car that was a lemon. He doesn't do that. He goes out and he spends it on riotous living, the Bible says. And he spends it on living different than how he was raised, different than what he knows he should do. And he goes out and he does it anyway. And the Bible says in verse number 17, I love this phrase, the Bible says, and when he came to himself. And boy, there's a lot of times in this life, you don't have to be living out in sin, although if you are, there has to be a time that you need to come to yourself. What does it mean? Come to your senses. there's a lot of things that happen in this life, and we can be Christians striving to live for the Lord, and different things can come into our lives, and all of a sudden the Lord's trying to get our attention. He says, hey, wake up. What's the Lord trying to say? Hey, it's time to come to yourself. It's time to come to your senses and realize what's going on. And the prodigal son is here, and of course he's sitting there looking at the hog slop, and he's thinking, boy, that sure looks good. I mean, I would think you got to get pretty low to where you're looking at the hog slop thinking, boy, I'm so hungry. That looks like a 3 or 5 course meal right now. But that's where he was, and that's where he found himself. And he came to himself, and he made the right decision. And he went back to his father, and he humbled himself. And he went back and said, I need to get some things right. And that's the place to go back to. But we're not going to preach on the prodigal son. I mean, it's Father's Day. I mean, maybe it's easier if I just preach on the kids, right, on Father's Day. That wouldn't be bad. That'd be a break to the fathers. But we're not going to do that. We're going to preach on fathers on Father's Day. And so I want to look at the father here in the passage and look at some things here about him. And listen, fatherhood never ends. Amen. Fatherhood never ends. And the story isn't going to be based around a relationship with his son, because that's pretty unique as far as him coming back as a prodigal. And we could look at some of those things. But in general, I think there are some characteristics, there are some qualities of this father that are worth looking at. And for fathers or men that might be fathers, there are some good things to look at and that we can learn and check some things. Check some things. Now, this would be a lot easier to preach if I just sent my wife and kids away. It'd be a lot easier to preach. I could preach real hard on fathers if I just sent my wife and kids away, and then I just kind of, they didn't have to hear what I was saying. Why? Because I'm a father, and I'm not a perfect father. There is no perfect father. And I don't take consolation in knowing that I'm not perfect and you're not perfect. It's just the fact that we're not. Now, we do have a heavenly father. If you're saved and born again, and say, what do I mean by that? Someone who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ only. Amen. And what he has done on the cross of Calvary, his death, his burial, his resurrection to prove that he was who he said he was. Amen. There's a lot of religious people that have said stuff. But he rose from the grave and he said, remember, I told you I was going to raise. You didn't? Don't you remember? I told you I was going to do that. I told you that I had to suffer and die. And he did it. Why did he do that? He did it for the sin of the world. And side note this morning, you and I are sinners. There's no way around that. If we're honest with ourselves, we've broken the law of God and we've done it on purpose. And odds are you're going to do it again on purpose. And we're sinners. And boy, we can't get to heaven outside of Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible says. That's not a religious template. That's what the Bible says. It's by him alone. A religious template says, well, you just be a part of our group and we'll get you in. That's the religious way, but that's not the Bible way. Amen. The Bible is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Religious affiliation or not, grew up a certain way or not, lived a good life or not. Jesus Christ says, whoever calls upon me, I'll save them. Yeah. Why? Because the Lord's not willing that any should perish. And you know what happens when a person gets saved and born again? A lot of things happen. Yeah. But one of the things that happens is you go to heaven and you're gifted eternal life from Jesus Christ. You're gifted that. But you know what else happens? He adopts you as a father. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And we can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, Father. We can look up into heaven. We can be flat on our face before him. And we can say, Father, I thank you for being good to me. And what does he do? He adopts us into his family. We go from living in our own sin, and the Bible says we're a child of the devil, to being a child of God through salvation. And boy, how great is that? I know that whatever happens, my father wasn't a perfect father, but I have a heavenly father, and that is perfect, and he's right in all things. And so our greatest example, of course, we're going to use a biblical example this morning of a father, but our greatest example of a father is our heavenly father. Why? Because when we need love, he gives us love. When we need a whooping, He doesn't spare the rod. He lets us know. Thank God for our Heavenly Father. But let's look at the Father here in the passage of Luke 15 and see if we can learn some things this morning. See if we can check some things this morning about our lives as fathers, those that are striving to be what they can be. And let's see what we can learn here. So the first thing I want you to know here, of course, we see in verse number 20, we see the Son, the Bible says, and he arose and came to his Father. And it says, but when he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him. A great way off. Now, I don't know if he was sitting out on the porch and thinking about his son and praying and watching for him to come back. That would make, I mean, that would make some for some dramatic preaching. That makes him for some dramatic storytelling. I don't know if that's how it worked. I don't know if he was just looking out the window or he was outside coming in, but he looked down the way, he looked down the path, and he saw a figure coming towards the house. And the Bible says he saw him afar off. I like to say, firstly, about this father is he knew his son. Amen. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, I hope he did. I hope that he knew his son. But he didn't just know that he was his son. There was something about him that he knew him. He knew him personally. He knew him in a way that a father should get to know his son. I mean, the Bible says he was afar off, so there was something about his walk. There was something about his manner. There was something about, of course, appearance, but that could have changed over this time. There was something about him where that father looked down there and he said, I know who that is. That's my son. And he knew him. And a loving father gets to know his children. A loving father gets to know his children. That's the title for if for nothing else, for the internet's sake, a loving father. A loving father. A loving father gets to know his children. If you've had children, if you've had more than one, you know that they're different. Children are different. They're unique. Even if you've had one, you look at that child and you say, you're different. Doesn't matter. If they're at least different from you. Why? Because children are different. They're unique. And sometimes the children are like you, and sometimes they're like your spouse, right? And when they're in trouble, it's all, you're just like your, and it's never you, you know? It's never you. Children have different likes, and they have different dislikes, and they have different talents, and they have different interests. They have different personalities, and they have different emotions. They have different strengths, and they have different weaknesses, and they all find different ways to get on your nerves. They're pros at it, right? But children are different. They're different. And listen, in the story here, the older son was different from the younger son. We didn't read about the older son, but I'll just tell you the story if you're not that familiar with it. It's the rest of the passage. The older son sees the father, and he sees what's going on, his interaction with the son and the things that we read, and he starts to get out some nice stuff, and he starts to say, hey, we're going to have this little party here, and we're going to kill this fatted calf. And the older son comes back from working, because that's what he's been doing. He's been faithful, and he's been working. And he comes back, and he says to the servants, what's going on here? And he says, hey, your brother's back. And he's like, oh, that guy. Right? And he's not so happy about it. Why? He's thinking maybe this is the guy that took his half of the inheritance from my dad, hurt my dad and mom probably, and left town, and we've heard about it, went out and wasted it and living like this and giving my father a bad, and now he's back and we're going to have a party for him? That's probably what he's thinking. Not only that, but he's thinking, where's my party? And when his dad approached him, he says, hey, Dad, I've been here working with you the whole time. You don't throw me a party like this. And we're going to throw it for this son? The two boys were different. The two boys, each of them, as far as preaching goes, they each had some qualities that could have been fixed and could have been better. But the older son here, we see him, he stuck around. He was working. He was faithful. These boys were different. And that's what happens. Kids are different. And what should a loving father do? A loving father should get to know his children. Should get to know his children and spend time and understand who they are as individuals. You know, I'm glad the Lord knows me. I'm glad my Heavenly Father knows me personally. and he can deal with me according to who I am, the goods and the bads. I'm glad the Lord gets to know his children. He knows everything about me. Of course, he's God, right? So some of that is, we could say, well, of course, he has to know all about us. Yeah, but he takes an interest in us. He doesn't just know about us. Of course, he knows the very hairs on our head and the ones that are being subtracted every day, you know? As my forehead, I see some old pictures, and I'm like, man, I had a small forehead when I was younger. It's because the hair is disappearing, right? But the Lord knows every hair on our head. Of course, he knows all about us, but the Lord takes interest in us. And that's what has to happen. A loving father takes interest in his children, and he gets to know who they are, and he gets to know their personalities, and he gets to know them. And I'm glad that my heavenly father takes an interest in me. I'm glad that he can do something for me, and he can handle me as I need to be handled as a child of his. And he takes that interest, and he knows me, and he says, well, this thing right here is exactly what he needs. Right? Because you know, if you've had more than one child, sometimes you can handle one child firmly, and they'll finally get it. And another child, what do they need? They need a hug. They need a hug, and they get it. They get it. They don't need the same punishments. They don't need the same discipline. They don't need the same raising. You have to know. You have to know what's going on and how to deal. And I'm glad the Lord knows that about me. Why? Because a loving father knows his children. A loving father knows his children. What else happens here? He sees him when he's a great way off. He sees him, and the Bible says this in verse 20. It says, and had compassion. And had compassion. Compassion is a mix of love and pity, is what it is. That's why when the Bible talks about being pitiful, it's not the same way that it's having pity, being full of pity towards others. And a loving father loves his son. That's what happens here in the story. A loving father loves his children. And this love, he had compassion on him. Now, who knows what thoughts have been going through the father's mind, and who knows how long it was. He took a journey far away, and of course, all the things that I had said about this younger son here was true. And who knows what kind of emotions are going through his father's mind and in his heart, and the love that he had for him, and the things that he desired of him to do, and the positions that he got himself in. And listen, some of you might have wayward children in here this morning, and the message isn't about that, but it is applicable. It is applicable. Sometimes your children grow up, and they don't live how you wished and hoped that they would live. Mine are all still in the house, and I'm still trying to struggle to keep them living the way that they should be going. But they're all going to grow up, and they're going to leave the house, and they're going to make their own decisions. And I'm just going to be the dad sitting off to the side. And it happens to everybody. It happens to everybody. And sometimes children don't make, especially when you're talking about spiritual things. I'm not talking about aspirations for a job or how much money somebody makes or those kind of things. I'm talking about someone that's tried to raise their children with the Word of God, and then sometimes those children leave the house and they leave the things of God and they go try to test the waters and do whatever they want to do. And it hurts. It hurts parents because they understand some things that the kids don't seem to want to understand. And so that is applicable, but who knows what was going through the father in the story's mind, but when he sees him, the Bible says he has compassion. He has compassion. Their relationship was strained because of the son's choices. They weren't good, and he knew it. They didn't please God, and everybody knew that, but the father loved his son, and he had compassion on him. Relationships take twists and turns often, our human relationships, but as a father, we should have compassion. We should have compassion. Jude says that compassion makes a difference. It's not a quote, but it's what it says. Compassion makes a difference. Jesus was compassionate. He was compassionate towards the multitudes. He was compassionate towards the sick. He was compassionate towards the blind. See, we find it easy to have compassion and pity and love. We find it easy to have compassion on someone who's nice to us and who does everything that we agree with. It's easy to have pity and compassion on those that love us and they love us back, or they love us and we love them back. And it's easy to have compassion. We see someone go through a hard time and they've been faithful to the Lord and they've been doing what they can, and even with one another in the church, and we see somebody go through something and we say, oh man, but it's easy to have compassion on someone like that. It's not always easy to have compassion when relationships are strained. But in the home, what should a father do? A father should have some compassion. You know, I'm glad the Lord loves me and pities me. I'm glad that the Lord can look over there and say, there he is. Sometimes he's a knucklehead. But he has compassion. He has compassion. He had compassion enough to die for me. He had compassion enough to die for you. Say, in what condition? While we were yet sinners. At our worst. He died for us. He laid down his life for us. He had compassion enough to then offer that salvation as a free gift. It would have made sense if he demanded something from us. That's why religion is so popular. You give someone the gospel of the free gift of eternal life, and they say, it can't be that easy. Right. Well, you and I wouldn't make it that easy, but God did. Amen. God said, this is a free gift. Because I know if you tried to earn this, you couldn't earn this gift. Yeah. God knows that. That's why he sent his only begotten son. And so he loved me enough to offer me a free gift of salvation and have compassion enough to die for me. He has compassion enough for me now that when I make a decision that's not his will, he has compassion to say, all right, you're going to get that fixed up? Amen. That's the compassion of God when the preacher stands up and says, get right. You know what that is? That's the compassion of God giving you an opportunity to get it right with him before he has to discipline his children and chastise his children. Every time you're in a service and the Holy Spirit of God pricks your heart to say, hey, knock that off. Stop it. Live right. Do right. Every time God does that, it's his grace and mercy and compassion. Because you know what the Lord could do? I told you, and you already know it. Whack! And you know what happens when I get the whack? I say, well, you're right, Lord. That was deserving. That was deserving. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that often. I find he's much more gracious with me than says, all right, we need to get the belt. We need to get the rod, to use the biblical term. The Lord's much, much more compassionate with me. Why? Because a loving father loves his children. Loves his children. What else happened? Same verse, number 20. Verse 20, the Bible says, and he saw him and he had compassion. It says, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That was his response. He had this compassion in his heart, and he had this compassion and draw towards his son. And what did he do? He ran to meet him. And he runs to meet him. It says he fell on his neck and he kissed him. You know what a loving father does? A loving father shows his love. A loving father shows his love. He fell on his neck and kissed him. He had hugs and kisses there for a son. Didn't even get a chance to get a word out. And he ran and he showed his compassion and he fell on him. Listen, as a father, there's time for discipline. There is. Discipline's not just for mothers to do. It's for fathers as well to be active in. There's a time for discipline. There's a time for the rod. There's a time for harsh words and criticism. In love, discipline is profitable. It's a biblical principle. And if you want to love your children, there's going to have to be a time of discipline. It's not in the story, but it's worth saying. Why? Because we live in a world now where discipline is a bad word. And you're not supposed to discipline. You're not supposed to do anything, because if you do anything against a child's will, then it might destroy them forever. And I would say if you're over a certain age, all of us were destroyed forever. And we look around in the world sometimes and we go, boy, I wish there was some other kids ruined like me. Discipline has a place in the home. And discipline has a place from the Father. And it can't be forgotten, but there is also a time for a hug and a kiss on the head. There is also a time for a father to show his love. Why? You can't just be one and not the other. And it shouldn't just be, well, hugs are just for mom. I'm not a very what's the word? What am I looking for? You could tell me what I'm not. What's that? This could go way wrong. please find the one that I'm trying to come up with. I'm not a big PDA affectionate type of person. All right. It was never that way growing up in my household, and it just wasn't something that I am used to. But my wife has helped me out a lot with that. Why? Because a father needs to show his affection, needs to show his love, and it's good to do that. It's good to do that with boys or with girls. It's good to show your love, and it's good to do that. Why? Because it shows maybe another side. It shows another side. There has to be a time for discipline. There has to be a time for love. There should be a time for both. For both of those things. It's good to do that. It's good to do it in good times. And it's good to do it in hard times. To show love. For a father to show love. It's not always easy to do that. There's a lot of circumstances in this life that come up and go around, but it's good to remember to be able to show love to the children. You know, God shows me love often. Often he shows me love, whether it's in comfort or it's in peace or it's in giving contentment. What does God do? God comes down and he lets you know that he loves you. Our God is not a God just sitting up there waiting for you to do the wrong thing so he can smack you. He's not just waiting to bring I'm going to bring this circumstance into their life and boy, I'm going to teach them a lesson. That's not what God does. You know what I've often found? I've often found that God has tried to teach me the lesson in love and in mercy first. And if it doesn't get through the thick skull, then the Lord says, all right, we got to do a different way. Just like a good earthly father does. Listen, don't do that. It's not going to be good for you. It's going to hurt you. Don't touch that. Don't do it that way. Look out. You're about to do that, and I'm going to warn you. You try that, and it's not going to end well. But what do they try to do? They try to teach and to instruct and help and guide. But what happens? Sometimes they just don't get it. Sometimes they want to do it their own way. Sometimes children just say, all right, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just do it in direct disobedience. And what has to happen? Well, maybe you're gracious and you say, listen, that was direct disobedience. And if you do that one more time. But at some point, there needs to be discipline. But what often happens first? Love. And a showing of love. And I'm thankful the Lord does that. I'm thankful he shows me his love. Thankful he does that for me. Look in verse 21. So he runs and he falls on his neck and he kisses him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what else I find about the father here is that he listened. He listened. He could have just said, no, don't worry about it. Whatever it is, don't worry about it. Come on. But he listened, and it was good that he listened. Why? Because the son repented, and the son humbled himself. And it was the son needed to say it. It was good that the son said it. And it was good that the father shut up and listened. And that's what a good father does. A good father listens. The father was there to listen, and men often don't listen. Now, I said that for the men, because you ladies already know that. But men, we don't often listen. You know, the old saying, kids are to be seen and not heard. Well, listen, there is some truth to that. Why? Because children are to obey, and children are to honor their father and their mother. But there are times that a father should listen to be a better father. There are times for listening. There are situations, right? There are situations where a child should stop talking and just obey. And you don't understand what's going on right now. There are times for that. But there are other times when a child needs to be heard. And a father should be able to listen. Why? So that he knows how to give wise instruction. If the Lord has given a father some wisdom, and if at the very least has given him some experience of life, sometimes you have to listen to understand and know how to instruct, and you have to listen in order to know how to get to know your children better. You have to listen sometimes. You can't just make assumptions or go in one way all the time. There's a time that a father needs to listen. Why? Because he loves his children. Amen. And that's what a loving father does. You might not be interested in the conversation. Say, oh, that sounds terrible. Have you heard children talk? Have you heard teenagers talk? Sometimes you're like, I don't know the words that you're saying. Whatever the lingo of the internet is today, I don't understand what you're saying. Speak real words to me. Sometimes I've said, listen, you're talking to your father. Speak words that I want to understand. Stop it with everything else. So maybe sometimes the communication is a little difficult. But what do? You give it a shot. You give it a shot. And yeah, everything that their child's interested in, you might not be interested in. But that's okay. I think sometimes back and I go, man, my father sure was pretty quiet a lot of times in the car. Why? Because I was probably talking about something that he could have cared less about. My dad was probably just driving down. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Whatever. I was probably blabbing about something, and he wasn't all that interested. But you know what he did? He listened. Either that, or we would drive, and my father would turn on the AM radio, because we lived in the mountains of the Appalachians. And so we'd go somewhere. We'd have to go up and over and down, and we'd be trying to listen to a hockey game or something. And it'd be on an AM station, and you heard more static than you did the announcer's voice. But now, I'm really good at understanding through static what someone's trying to say. We'd just have that on. But what was happening? A loving father is one that listens. One that listens. That's why the Lord gave us prayer. You ever think about that? The Lord gave us prayer so that we could talk to him. I mean, you're talking to the Lord sometimes, you're praying to the Lord, and you ever just realize sometimes you're just talking out loud to the Lord and you realize, I have to sound like a complete fool, right? I mean, how many times have we been through this? How many times has the Lord said this thing? Or how many times have you worried about this or you're praying about this thing? How many times have you done that? And yet the Lord has given us this ability for us to be able to go, as children, directly into the throne room and talk to him anytime we want. At any time we want to, he actually encourages us to talk to him. He desires to hear from his children. He does. He desires to hear from his children. We can talk to God. We can cast our care upon him. We can ask requests of him. And what sweet times in prayer. When we can pour out our hearts to the Lord and we know that he hears us. Amen. We know that he's listening. And we know that he's the perfect loving father that listens and hears and allows us to speak freely to him. I say that often. I mean, sometimes you don't understand what God's doing. And sometimes in the flesh, we can be frustrated and we can have no idea what's happening. You know what we can do? Take that all to the Lord. You don't have to hide anything with God. I mean, maybe you try to when you talk to the preacher. And hey, how are things going? Fine. They're good. They're great. And I walk away going, something's not right there. But with the Lord, you know what we can do? We don't have to say anything special to the Lord. Lord, I'm frustrated right now. I don't understand. Lord, I'm kind of actually getting angry. I know you're right, but I'm just... Ugh. We can take that right to the Lord. Why? Because he listens. He listens. And sometimes when I'm done talking to the Lord, he says, why don't you sit down for a second? Okay. And he says, now, you said some dumb things right there. So let's talk this through. And the Lord straightens me out, and I say, all right, I see it now. I get it. You're right. I wanted to get it off my chest, and I wasn't right in thinking that way. But you know what he does? He listens. He listens. The Lord listens, and he forgives, and he restores, and he comforts, and he listens. He listens to you and I. A loving Father listens to his children. You know what else happens? In verse 22, the Bible says this, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and bring a ring, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. That shows you how low he had stooped. He didn't have shoes. That's where sin took him. Didn't have shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. You know what happens sometimes? A loving father spoils his children. That's what happens occasionally. A loving father spoils his children. Now, when I say spoil, I don't mean that things need to be lavish or expensive all of the time. That's not what I'm talking about, spoiling children. That's what grandparents are for. We were talking about that yesterday at one point. I was saying, yeah, I don't know what happened. Like, my parents are different humans with my children than how they dealt with me. For some reason, they were always mad at me. It had nothing to do with me. It couldn't have. But some reason, they were always mad at me, and my children can do no wrong. I'm like, did you see it? Did you see it? It was right there. And my parents are like, nope, they're the best things that ever happened. A guy told me one time, if I knew grandkids would be this good, I'd have had them first. My parents are different human beings. Like, where'd you get all that money? How'd that happen? How are you spending this much money? That's what grandparents are for. They reserve the right to spoil their grandchildren. Yeah. All right, but you're welcome. But within reason, within wisdom, sometimes it's good to spoil our children. Yeah. Things need to be celebrated. Memories should be made. We didn't have a lot growing up. My parents didn't have a lot growing up. We weren't known to be rich by any means. There was a limit to finances, but things don't have to be expensive to be special. Amen. And sometimes just being able to spoil our children a little bit. He says, hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to bring out the best robe. And we're going to put a ring on his hand. And we're going to put shoes on his feet. It was the right thing to do at this time for the father to do that. It was the right thing to do. Why? Well, I don't know what condition the son came back, but we know what condition he was in when he came to himself. Right? We know what condition he was in. And so he might have showed up, and the dad might have looked at him, and his clothes might have been dirty and filthy and tattered, and he didn't have shoes on his feet. And the father looked at that and looked at how skinny he was, probably, and said, man, you haven't eaten in a while. Not anything good, at least. And you know what? He did exactly what was right at that time. Yeah. It goes the other way. If you spoil your children all the time, it goes in the opposite direction, and we grow brats. That I should always be spoiled. We live in a world where it seems like everyone says, I should always be spoiled. And that's not reality. But the father looked at the son and he said, you know what he needs? We're going to give him some good steak. Yeah, get the best robe and put it on him. Because he's been through some stuff. And let's put some shoes on his feet. Let's put a ring on his finger. Make him feel like he has some worth. And let's spoil him a little bit. And it's good to do that. It's good to do that every once in a while. The Lord sure does spoil me. I'm guessing he spoils you. Why? Because we have a good father. Everything might not be perfect, right? But time spent, boy, he sure does spoil. Thoughtfulness, boy, the Lord knows all about that. He knows all about that. And he spoils me. And I have more than I need. I'm supposed to be content with food and raiment. Right? How much food? Well, I'm supposed to be content with the food the Lord gives me. How much raiment? Well, I got a closet full. Yeah, you go through, boy, when's the last time I wore this? That should be humbling. Why? Because the Lord is so good to us. The Lord is so good to us. And he's spoiled his children. I mean, we as American Christians are spoiled. We don't even understand until you have a chance to see some Christians that aren't spoiled. It doesn't even make sense to us. We just get spoiled like any other spoiled child and say, Lord, why don't I have this? Why can't I have that? And we can be ungrateful if we're not careful. But boy, God is good to us and he spoils us. And he knows just when we need something. And he knows just when we don't need something. He's got it right. He's got it perfect every time. You and I, as human fathers and human parents, we have to try to figure it out. If I do this too much, if I do that, but boy, the Lord knows. The Lord knows. He's good. Why? Because a loving father sometimes spoils his children. And lastly, I'd like to look at this here. He says, he puts a ring on his hand. He puts shoes on his feet. He brings the fatted calf in 23. He kill it and says, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Amen. You know what a father should make sure? A loving father should make sure there's some joy in the home. Right. That there's some joy. And I wrote down here, relax. But that was for me. I wrote that down for me. There's a lot of things that can happen. If you're trying to live for the Lord as a father, and you're trying to be the father the Lord wants you to be, which also means you should be the husband that you're supposed to be. I heard somebody say this. The most important love you can show a child for a father is to love their mother. Amen. Set that precedent. So when you're a father and when you're trying to live for the Lord, you're going to have responsibilities. Why? Because God has placed them on you. God has placed the responsibility of fatherhood. God has placed the responsibility of being a husband. God has placed the responsibility on you of being a Christian and being the head of your home and providing for your family and doing the things that you can do and what the Lord has brought. And so there can be a lot of pressure. There can be a lot of things running through your mind all the time about things that, man, you should be doing, things you wish you were doing better, and there can be a lot of things going on. But it doesn't mean that we should allow that pressure to suck any joy or happiness that should be in the household. And we need to be careful of that. Listen, there's a time for work. There's a time to teach your children to work. There's a time for chores. There's a time to be sober and serious. There's a time for all of those things. And when you get him confused, it gets all out of whack. When it's all laugh and fun and joy when it should be time for work, that's irritating. All right, hey, stop it. It's time for work now. But it can't be all work. It can't be all work. Why? Man, you crush a kid's spirit when it's all work. There needs to be some time for joy. There needs to be some time for fun. A home can be fun. There should be laughing. There should be smiling. And he says, making merry. And that's what they did. So, hey, come on in here, son. And let's make merry together. Let's be happy together. Someone said this once, happy laughter and happy family voices in the home will do more to keep kids off the streets at night than the strictest of curfews. What is that? A home and a place that's happy, where kids don't mind being. That doesn't mean everything's always perfect. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't mean that everything's always perfect. It doesn't mean that everything is just great all of the time. That's not what it means. There's always situations in life that can bring sorrow or bring heartache or bring stress or bring tension to a home. But as a father, I mean, the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And that a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. That's what it says in Proverbs. A happy heart, it doeth good like a medicine. And sometimes all the things of life that are going on, you know what's good? Is just to have some joy and do what you need to do to make light of a situation or to bring a smile on the face. The situation's not going to change, but it's easier going through something with a smile than it is being a wreck. Verse number 32, down at the end of the chapter there, this is the older son. They've already had this conversation. You know what the father says? He says in verse 32, it was meet. He means that it's right. It's appropriate. That's what meet means, M-E-E-T, in this context. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. He says, you know what the right thing for us to do right now? He's talking to his older son, the one that's mad and ticked off at his brother and wonders why he's being a little selfish. He says, you know what, it's the appropriate thing for you and I to have some joy right now. I heard a preacher preach a message one time about the younger son here and the older brother, and he had the basic gist was the day after the party. The day after the party. What it looks like right here is the older son's kind of getting ripped off a little bit. I mean, we're looking at it going, well, that boy was pretty faithful and he worked hard. And he hasn't ran off and he's stayed stuck by the stuff and he's been there the whole time. And it looks like the younger brother's getting off easy. And he said, hey, then there's the day after the party. What was that? The older son still had everything. And the younger son didn't have any inheritance. There was some things, there was some still, the reaping is still coming after the sowing. Amen. But at this time it was right. And he says, you know what we should do at this time? We should have a good time. And we should be thankful that your brother's back. Amen. And he's back here where we can watch over him and love on him. The Lord gives joy. That's what the Lord gives. He gives joy. And we should be able to have a good time in the Lord. We should be able to laugh at church. We should be able to be ourselves at church. We should be able to laugh. We should be able to not take ourselves too seriously. And we should be able to rejoice in what the Lord has done for us as a father. Why? Because the Lord brings joy. The Lord can bring joy in the most devastating of circumstances. And the Lord can bring joy to our heart. Why? Because he knows it's needful. Because a loving father makes sure that there's some joyous times, some happy times, some loving times. That's a loving father. A loving father knows his children. A loving father loves his children. A loving father shows his love. He listens. Sometimes there's time to spoil your children and brings joy. I sure am glad I can look at my Heavenly Father and say, boy, he does all this and more. He does all these things for me as his child. He shows these things to me. I can, when I hear them, they're pointed out directly. I can see them and know for sure and think of times and circumstances where God has been all these things for me. And so, fathers, how are we doing? How are we doing on these things? Are we like this father in the scriptures? Can we at least be like him? We might not. We're never going to match up to our Heavenly Father. We're never going to get it right all the time. Can we at least be like this? Can we strive to be like this father? And take some inventory and say, all right, maybe I haven't spent enough time getting to know my children. Maybe I should show more love. Maybe I should listen more. Maybe I should allow some things and put that to the side and find a way to spoil my children a little bit. Sometimes maybe I'm just constantly pretty hard and I need to loosen up a little bit and make it fun so we can laugh and do something. These are all important things of fatherhood. Balanced with the Word of God, balanced with the other things that we should be doing as well. It's all good and right for us to do. And so let's go ahead and pray this morning.